Well, how's everybody this morning? I appreciate all the folks that today were telling me how much they appreciated me being here. I thank you for that, but I got bad news for you. I'm here next week, too. The deacons got together and they said, surely he can get one right. So we'll give him one more shot. It is good to be here. I'm certainly enjoying this. I'm going to ask for a personal prayer. I'm starting in the interim, starting the 16th of July, and in some ways it's a difficult interim. It is a church that has chosen to allow my church, the church I'm a member of, Emmanuel Baptist Church, to merge with them, take them over because of their financial and declining in attendance. And they asked. They asked. And so we are in that problem. We've already, all the things have been done for Emmanuel in the process, and next week, the 2nd, they're all going to be over at the main campus at Emmanuel, or at the Tate's Creek campus. And someone's preaching on the 9th, because I've already made an obligation there, but I will be starting there on the 16th. So I seek your prayer. It is a time of both sadness, but I think it's going to be a time of celebration. I'm excited about the possibilities. Don't know how long my stint there will be. I hope it's not too long, but we certainly pray for that church and pray for the folks. I've met with some of them already, and they think there's some good days ahead, and I believe there's some great days ahead too for them. But I say that in saying church, and one time this church was doing quite well. Be sensitive to the fact that if you depart from God's will and purpose and lose his face and lose his purpose, things can happen. I know of a very large, the most successful at one time Baptist church, Southern Baptist Church in West Virginia. They contacted me to go pastor there. I declined. That wasn't the reason they declined. But later on, that church ended up closing the doors and selling the property. I will tell you that what we're wanting to do and what Emmanuel's thought is, and just I don't want to belabor this because I've got to get to my message, but is that we want to keep gospel presence in communities. We don't want to see doors shut. And so that's what's taking place. Well, I covet your prayers for me. We're concluding the book of Colossians. As we press through it this month, the theme of Colossians has been Jesus is first in creation, Jesus is first in our salvation, and Jesus should be first in our lives. And that should be the good news of the gospel. The good news is that God accepts us and loves us as a free gift, and we don't, not because of our goodness, because there's not a warm enough person in this room can be good enough. And Paul says, Jesus deserves to be first. He needs to be preeminent in our lives. This is important that we understand, church, that Jesus needs to be first. And Paul talks about two things in this chapter. Actually, verse 2 of 1 says, masters, deal with your slaves justly and fairly, since you know that you too have a master in heaven. That verse 1 actually should be in chapter 3. The guys who put it all together, I think they because that goes well right along with the fact of how we treat one another. And then we come to this part that talks about prayer. And Paul challenges us to pray with devotion for a purpose. We pray for the purpose that the gospel will be shared. Andrew Murray said, to pray constantly only for yourself is a mark of failure in prayer. It is in intercession for others that our faith and love and perseverance will be stirred up, and that the power of the Spirit will be found to equip us for the bringing salvation to people. Let's read beginning of verse 2. Devote yourselves. You might want to underline that word devote. To prayer. Stay alert. There's another important word. In it with thanksgiving. Another. Devotion, alert, thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Father God, we thank you for your word. Allow it to speak to us this morning. Open our hearts and our ears that we may understand what you're saying and the challenge that you are giving us. And Lord, help us to respond as we should. It's in Christ we pray, and amen. Verses 2 and 4 talks about prayer, speaking to God about other people. Verses 5 and 6 talks about evangelism, speaking to people about God. Now, I've already lost some of you by mentioning those two areas, because some of you already feel guilty of both of those areas. You realize you're not praying as you should, and you know you're not witnessing as you should. We know that prayer makes a difference. We all know that. That we have access to God, the God of the universe, and we can have peace as we pray. And without prayer, we are powerless. And yet, most of us don't pray as we should. I find that there is nothing that my flesh resists more than being still and seeking the Lord. Because we know this is life's greatest pleasure, but how often we neglect it as if it were not even a priority. In one sense, prayer is simple, but yet it is also the most difficult part of our Christian life. You ask any believer about their battles, and 9 out of 10 will tell you that maintaining a warm and deeper prayer life is one of the greatest challenges in their life. Because so many have struggled for so long, it is tempting not to pray at all. I'm amazed when they do surveys and they ask people how long they pray and how many minutes they put in prayer. And we find that even with pastors, how low how few minutes to spend in prayer. We may not yet have and there's some reasons why. We have, first of all, the obvious reason is we may not yet have a true relationship with God. In order to experience the joy of answered prayer and true prayer and be able to call upon the Father, you have to first have received Jesus Christ into your life and become a child of God. Or we may be more focused on asking for things than on knowing God more intimately. James says, tells us in chapter 4 that we don't have because we ask wrongly, with the wrong motives. Sometimes we're just too proud. If the truth were known, some of us don't really think we really need prayer. James also said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Some do so often, and that's sort of why when we put a guilt trip on people, we consider prayer as a chore, something we have to do. And we fight against that. Most of us know through experience that guilt trips are usually dead ends. And I don't want to put a guilt trip on you this morning. I want you to have an intimate relationship with the Father. I want you to know the joy of being in His presence. And He tells us that one of the things that we are to do in prayer, or how we are to pray, we see in verse 2. How are we to pray? Well, He tells us that we are to pray for others. And look what He says about that prayer, verse 2. He says we are to be devoted to prayer. That means that we are to be constantly in prayer. We'll be unrelenting in prayer. Prayer is not to be a hit or miss. It brings back to mind the early church. It tells us in Acts that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Luke, Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up in Luke 18. Paul is saying something quite simple. Keep praying. Don't bail out. Don't give up. Be faithful. You may have dry times, and there's times that you don't even think you hear God answering you back, but you are to continue in prayer. The idea of devotion to prayer means to be ready at all times. In Mark 3, Jesus told His disciples to get in a small boat, and He used the word ready. It's the same word used for devotion here. Be ready constantly to pray. The word ready is translated as devotion, but also it's that aspect of being right on the edge of the cusp all the time to pray. It should be a part of your life. In Galatians 4:2, Paul says, always be ready to break into prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we're to pray continually. Now, I've discovered something in prayer. You may not, and I don't close my eyes very often when I pray anymore, especially when I'm driving. But I find that I'm always looking, and I'll tell you what I'm looking for. When I'm praying, I'm looking for Jesus to come back, because we're to pray with that anticipation. And He says we are to be alert. Watchful, awake. Paul told the believers in 1 Thessalonians, do not go to sleep, but instead be alert and be under self-control. As the time approaches for the Lord's return, wouldn't it be great that He found you on your knees praying? This exaltation brings me to mind that situation in the garden when Jesus is telling His disciples to stay awake and Peter falls asleep. It's interesting. Think about that. Jesus told his disciples to pray, and they fell asleep. And what happened to Peter next? We find him denying the Lord. I wonder if he'd stayed awake and stayed in prayer if that had took place. You see, folks, let me share something with you. You right now are in a spiritual battle, and we have to stay alert all the time. 1 Peter tells us that the real picture says, be self-controlled, alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert that all perseverance and intercession of all the saints, we are constantly under attack. We need God's help. We need His presence. We need that intimacy with Him as the devil attacks us. We are to pray with devotion continually. We're to pray with alertness, being aware. And He said we're to pray with thanksgiving. Gratitude should be synonymous with our prayer. When we see answered prayers, we pray more, don't we? We give. But think of all the things that God has given you. Think of not only His presence and His provision, but His forgiveness, His salvation, His promise of heaven. Even Paul, all through this book of Colossians, in Colossians 1:3, he says, we always thank God the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. In verse 12, he said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. In verse chapter 2, he says, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thanksgiving. In chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through prayer, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God your Father through him. Our prayers should be immersed in thanksgiving. We are to be devoted in prayer. We are to be alert when we pray. We are to pray with thanksgiving. That's how we are to pray. And then he goes to verses 3 or 4 and he says, what we should say when we pray. Notice there what he says. We pray for open doors. Isn't it amazing to you? It's amazing to me that Paul, who's in prison, is not asking for better food. He's not even asking to be released. He's not asking for anything like that, but he's asking for open doors for the gospel to be shared. Even though he was locked up and he wasn't able to minister effectively, but he needed the prayers of God's people for open doors. In the scripture, an open door is an opportunity or an ability. 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul says, even though the Lord opened a door for me. In 2 Corinthians 2:12, he says, I went to Taurus to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me. Jesus opens and shuts doors for us when we seek him in prayer. Let's pray that God will open doors for Central Baptist Church and for each one of you to share the gospel with this community. You see, we are to focus our prayers on asking God to give each of us open doors. You see, I'm called to pray for you to have an open door. And you're called to pray that I have an open door. In fact, in 1 Samuel, it says this, I vow that I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. As I think about that verse, you know what that's saying to me? That I sin if I don't pray for you to have an open door, and you sin if you don't pray for me to have an open door. The second thing says, not only do I want an open door, but give me clarity to declare the mystery of the gospel. Once God opens the door, it's essential that we have the ability to proclaim the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The goal of evangelism is to make that which is non-clear, clear to the lost. As we've learned here in Colossians, the mystery is that Christ died for our sins and the sins of the whole world, and that those who receive him by faith have eternal life. He comes to take a residence in our life. We're told in 1 Colossians 1:27, Christ is in you and the hope of glory. Now, as I shared with you earlier in the sermon, it's difficult for me to ask for people to pray for me. But I asked for you all to pray for me as I undertake this venture that I'm going to be on here shortly. But because I want you to pray for me that not only that I have open doors in this opportunity, but I'm able to communicate with clarity the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you don't pray for me and I preach a confusing sermon, it's not really my fault. You see, when we speak to God about others, Paul urges us to be devoted, to be alert, to be thankful. and seize the opportunities that God gives us and be ready to speak in clarity about the mystery of the gospel. As we study verses 5 and 6, it's now how do we speak to others? We pray for others. We pray for open doors. We pray for clarity, but how do we do it? Well, look what he says in verse 5. Let me read this one again. Act wisely towards outsiders, making it known most of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. In fact, he says there, here's what we do. He talks about verse 5, how you walk. In verse 6, he talks about how you talk. Be wise. Be wise in the way you walk. Listen to me, church. Often all this simply means is that people are watching you. I remember when I was a pastor in Ashland years ago, and I may have shared this here. I had a man's wife and two children come attend the church. In fact, I baptized both of the kids. He was not a Christian. He didn't attend. And I went and visited him one day. I'll never forget visiting him. He was in a little lawn chair, and he was trying to hide the beer from me. And I said, man, that doesn't bother me at all. Go ahead and enjoy your beer. And as I started sharing with him, I saw him become more open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says, so-and-so is one of your deacons, isn't he? Yes. Well, he's my boss right now. You know, if that's the way a Christian acts and a Christian talks, I don't want to be a Christian. I will tell you, the man did accept Christ, and he was baptized. I lost a deacon through that, by the way, because I had a long conversation with the deacon. People watch you. When Jesus sent his disciples out to spread the good news, he told them, be as shrewd as snakes in Matthew 10:16, and as innocent as doves. Romans 16:19 says, be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil, or incensed about what is evil. We need to be careful about the way we act because people are making decisions about the validity of the Christian life based on how they see you. That is a guilt trip, I know. We need to be careful about the way we act because people are making decisions. He said, not only that, make most of the opportunities. This phrase, the idea here is the commercial term. The idea here is that, like my wife, she goes and she's a bargain and she buys plenty of them. And what the bargain, because it's cheap price. It's that kind of idea that we should take advantage of every opportunity that we have to share the gospel. Are you making the most of the opportunities you have? You know what my prayer is every morning, and this is part of my prayer every morning, honest. Lord, provide for me a divine opportunity today, a divine appointment, and give me the wisdom to recognize it. Every day you have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day you have an opportunity to be a witness before somebody. Then he says, be gracious. I got to move along. We need to guard about what comes out of our mouth. Our wise walk should lead to wise words. Be careful what we communicate. Listen, let me tell you something, church. Don't go off on lost people. They're lost. They're living in sin. Don't go off on them. Don't criticize them. Let the Lord deal with them after they've trusted in Jesus Christ. Too often, we want to clean the fish before we catch them. We don't need to talk politics. We don't need to worry about if they're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever they are. There's people lost out there and need to know Jesus Christ. And that's more important than any politics. We need to be more like Jesus, who was perfectly embodied by both truth and grace. You know, Luke said about Jesus in Luke 22, he said, he spoke well of him, they spoke well of him, talking about the people, and were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. And then he says, we're to speak with salt. Now, that doesn't mean the old salty. That's not what he's talking about here. Salt enhances flavor and makes food more appetizing. We are to make the, we are to share the word of God in a way that it is appetizing. You know, we should can't go up and just say, well, I was saved one time and it really changed my life. No, we're to be excited about it, and people need to hear that. We should be talking about Christ in a way that makes someone's mouth water. And then he says, be ready. When we talk with people who don't yet know Christ, we need to be ready to give them an answer when they ask the question. Another way to say that is when we need to be gracious and appetizing, that people want to hear an explanation on why we're the way that we are. I love what Peter says over in Peter. Whoop, I moved my marker. Now I'm in trouble. In 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to someone who asked you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Be ready to answer anyone at any time. Well, then what should I say? Well, first of all, simply tell your story. Tell you how you were saved. I hope that was an exciting experience in your life. Make it an exciting experience in your life. Second of all, tell tell Jesus' story. How he came to die for the sins of mankind, and he died on the cross and suffered that our sins could be forgiven. If you can't do that, at least find him in the church. Now, before I leave you feeling that you guilt trip, that you don't pray enough and you don't say enough, I'm going to give you the answer to the whole problem. Here's how you solve it. You need to cultivate an intimate, real relationship with God by simply bowing and making Jesus supreme in your life. We don't really pray until we see the prayer as a way to express our love to Christ and recognize that he is even more eager to meet with us than we are to meet with him. Likewise, it's impossible to salt our speech with sweetness of Jesus if we haven't experienced the sweetness ourselves. You see, evangelism spills over when we have a relationship with God that we have cultivated through prayer. Prayer and evangelism dovetail one another. You can't have evangelism without prayer. Prayer and evangelism flow out of a relationship. Do you have a relationship with the Father? Are you growing in that relationship? Are you drawing closer to him? Do you have a relationship with Christ this morning? Do you know him personally as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted him personally and tasted the sweet, sweet taste that comes through knowing him more intimately and more intimately to the point that you just want more and more of Jesus? You see, we can't force you to pray. We can't force you to be an evangelist until, and we can't force you anytime, but you really can't do any of those things until your relationship with the Father is what it is. Now, let me share with you. I'm going to close. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you got something in your life that's hindering your relationship with the Father, unconfessed sin, attitude towards another brother, I can give you a whole list, but you will know it. And it's hindering your relationship with the Father. It hinders your prayer life. Sin is a blockage to your prayer life. If you're here this morning and you've never really truly trusted in Jesus Christ and you wonder why when I pray I don't hear anything, That's because you don't have any relationship at all. And you need to come this morning and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father God, this morning there's someone in this room whose prayer life is not what it should be. And because, Lord, there's some things in their life that they need to deal with today. And, Lord, I'm not asking them to come to me. Maybe they can do it right where the pew they're in, or maybe they do need to come and kneel. Maybe that's what they need to do. And then, Father, there's that one here this morning, I know, that's really on the verge of trusting in Jesus. They know they need Christ in their life, but they've tried to clean their life up first. And Father, I would just encourage them, come as you are. Just as the prodigal sons came to the father, smelling of the pig trough, and the father puts his arms around him. It was after he came, he got cleaned up. I would encourage that person to come this morning. Father, as Jonathan is going to be standing here, Lord, I would just pray that your will be done and your spirit would move. It is in Christ we pray, and amen.